What's up, everyone? Evolutionary.org. Roll podcast coming your way. This is your host, Steve Smee. I'm with the Mason, your favorite Mason, the Masonic bodybuilder, coming in from New York. We have some great topics on the way here. So we're going to talk first. Let's get right into it. You know, Matt, let's talk about, we're going to talk about some steroids, some juicing up. We're going to fucking juice up. We're coming to the end of summer. We're going to run some juice, a nice mild cycle. You want to run something? EQ is one of my favorites. Matt, tell me a little bit about EQ cycle. How did you like it?
EQ, wow. This is one of those that there's so much misinformation about this, and I'm not sure why. So how many times does somebody come on the forums or somebody talk to you in the gym and say, hey, you ever use that vet steroid EQ? Like, it's got this name for some reason of it being, it's a vet steroid, so I can't use it. No, guys, okay, it's not made for human grade anymore. Same thing as Tren. It's no different, right? It's that's where it's used in the real world now is in animals. It makes no difference. You can give an animal a Tylenol, and it's going to do the same thing. So EQ, well, it's a testosterone derivative. It's a very long ester, longer than DECA. So it's nice. You can get away with 1-2 injections a week, and nice and smooth, too. You're not really going to get much pip from it at all. Does it aromatize? Yes, but it's so slowly. You're not really going to notice any water retention. So if you're not running your like, I'm assuming you run tests with it. Most of you guys will. If you're not running your test crazy high, you can actually have a pretty dry run with EQ. You know, you won't get a lot of side effects from it other than, you know, maybe some of the oily skin, possibly some acne if you're prone to it. It's pretty mild on the hairline too. So, you know, you're not even going to get that. The one side effect I guess guys talk about is your red blood cell count. Now, that goes up with any steroid, guys. So don't think this is just EQ. EQ might do it a little bit more than some of the other ones, but, you know, it is common to all steroids. So I guess when we're going to talk about actually running it, what it's going to do is, like I said, it's a long ester. So it's going to be in your system for a very long time. It's going to give you some really nice, lean, slow gains. You're not going to get bloated up. You're not going to get that, you know, water buffalo look. So I really like it if you're patient. So as I've gotten older, it's one of the things I prefer. I don't need to see that scale move really quick. What I like to do is put on the quality muscle that I can keep and that I'm not going to gain and lose and gain and lose and ride that roller coaster. So, I mean, you can run it. A lot of guys will run it longer than a typical 12-week cycle just to get the most out of it. 12 is probably a minimum. I don't think you really need more than, you know, 14, maybe 16 weeks. Some guys like to go crazy with it, 20, 22 weeks. I don't think that makes any sense because it's going to be in your system for, you know, weeks and weeks after that. So, you know, just keep it nice and reasonable. It's actually one of the few steroids that actually is good for endurance, and you really won't hear that often. So I know we can get into that when we lay out a cycle for you, but we could actually lay out an endurance-type cycle different from a typical muscle-building cycle. So, you know, maybe we'll get into that. But what do you want to add about that, Steve?
Yeah, endurance, out of all the steroids, EQ is the one for endurance. There's several reasons for this. Number one, it raises your red blood cell count. But like you said, all steroids do. But it's what EQ doesn't do, which makes it such a great endurance steroid. It's not going to give you pumps. It's not going to give you water retention. It's going to not give you androgenic side effects, okay? So add it all up. How are you supposed to run when you've got these nasty fucking pumps in your calves and in your front of your legs? When you run, you can't. How the fuck are you gonna run when you got pumps? It's gonna feel like your legs are gonna explode. Trust me. You don't believe me? Go run Winstrol, go run D-ball, and then try to run a mile a week or two into that cycle. Tell me what happens. You're gonna get fucked up. You're not gonna be able to run. Your legs are gonna feel like they're gonna fucking explode. You understand? So what you wanna do, you wanna run something that's not gonna give you pumps. How the fuck are you going to run on testosterone? How are you going to run on fucking anything that aromatizes and you're fucking carrying a gallon of water with you when you're trying to run? You can't. Guys don't run aromatizing compounds who are runners, who are into endurance. You know what I'm saying? So fucking EQ is the answer here. If you fucking want to get fucking endurance, EQ, baby. EQ is the way to go. This is what you do. If you want fucking endurance, this is the ultimate fucking endurance thing. I'm going to fucking give it to you right now. All you bicyclists, runners, swimmers, hikers, this is what you fucking run. I want you to run 300 to 400 milligrams a week of EQ, and then you're going to run cardarine with it, and you're going to run SR9009 pre-exercise 1 to 2 hours beforehand. Probably 1 hour beforehand is the sweet spot. 5 to 20 milligrams, and then 20 milligrams split of the GQ cardarine. That's going to give you the fucking endurance you need, okay, to fucking get endurance. Don't listen to the bullshit on these fucking forums where people tell you that, Winstrol, run Winstrol. Just because fucking Ben Johnson got busted for Winstrol and he was a sprinter back in the 80s, everyone thinks, oh, Winstrol, you should run Winstrol for fucking endurance. No! Don't fucking listen to those fucking idiots. Just because Ben Johnson got busted for Winstrol doesn't mean that's what he used to be a sprinter. He was genetically gifted and he used other shit, all right? Trust me. He would have used the same shit I'm telling you right now if he was around today running and getting fucking gold medals, okay? That's what you run if you're a fucking endurance athlete. If you're a fucking bodybuilder and you want to fucking lean up, EQ is a fucking awesome steroid. The reason for that is, like I said, it doesn't aromatize. That's good. We don't want fucking water retention. We don't want to look like a bloated fish when we're trying to cut. That wouldn't make fucking sense. You're going to lose your vascularity. You're going to look like a fucking dead fish. Why would you want that if you're trying to cut? Run the fucking EQ. It's a beautiful steroid for cutting. Number two, you can run it in a caloric deficit, and it's not going to fucking give you nasty-ass side effects like Trenwil or testosterone or any of these other androgenic steroids. Some people complain that EQ gives them an appetite increase. That is kind of a fallacy because most people who run EQ do not report that. So some guy 10 years ago or 20 years ago started saying, oh, EQ gives you anxiety. Oh, EQ gives you appetite increase. It doesn't increase your appetite any more than any of these other appetite-stimulating steroids, all right? That is a fucking fallacy, but some guys do have an appetite increase. I won't deny that. Some guys do. I personally do not. Matt, tell me if you do.
Personally, I don't. I never have. I run around 600 milligrams a week. I don't run it for endurance. I run it for more lean muscle building. That's kind of what I do, but yeah, I've never had that. So tell us what's the cycle then?
What's a cycle then you would use for EQ? If you were a gym rat, you know, bodybuilder trying to lean down, what's a good cycle? Hit it.
So I guess for me, you're definitely going to want to run tests with it because you're going to want a little more androgen than the EQ is not going to get it done for you, right? You're going to want to keep that, you know, the libido strong. You want to keep all the male, you know, the androgenic shit going. So I would run tests. I typically run the middle ground 500 milligrams per week. So I would say 400 to 600 to give you a range. And EQ something, play around with it, guys. Like, this is where you can really have fun because you're not going to get side effects. It's not like saying, you know, let's play around with Tren. You're not going to do that, right? EQ, some guys are fine with as low as 300 to 400 milligrams per week. If you're trying to cut, if you're trying to just put on some slow muscle, it's fine. So start there. You don't need to go crazy high. But I do know guys that go up to 800, and that's where they like it. And you know what? They don't really get any side effects any more than I do at 600. You know, like I said before, maybe some a little bit more oily skin, that kind of thing. But it's not like you're going to get, you know, the roid rage and all that, you know, garbage talk. So I think test 500, EQ 600. You're going to want to run an AI, because if you do run it with test, obviously test aromatizes heavily and you need to control the estrogen. If you were to run EQ on its own, I would still run an AI, but I'd probably run aromacin half the dose, closer to a TRT dose, maybe 5 milligrams every 2-3 days. Kind of just monitor, you know. It's one of those where the aromatization, your body still, you know, our bodies are very smart, guys. So when you're running something like EQ that has such a minor aromatization, minor effect, your body's pretty good at figuring shit out, and it will kind of take care of that. It's like when you're running just TRT. Some guys don't need an AI at all because your body kind of adjusts to it. You know, it's pretty smart. The thing you want to remember with EQ, we've talked about this with other things, is your PCT is going to be very important because the shit's going to be in your system for a long time. And as much as we want to say, you know, it's a great compound, it's a mild compound, it will still shut you down. And especially if you're running it with something else like test, it's going to do the same thing. So you need to go on evolutionary.org. You need to look at the sticky called the perfect PCT. We've gone through it on other episodes, and you need to follow that exactly. And that's how you'll keep your gains. That's how you'll recover as best you can. You'll feel good. You'll have that nice soft landing. And then you take the proper time off, and then you're ready to go again. And then you run whatever you want next time.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Very misunderstood fallacy out there that guys think they run EQ and they think that they got to run it at some crazy dosage, or they think they got to run it for like 20 weeks or something. They don't understand it's a mild compound that doesn't cause water retention. So if you hop on it 3-4 weeks, you don't gain any weight on it. People are like, oh, this shit ain't working. It's working, all right? It's fucking working. You just don't know how to optimize the shit, all right? So steroids, as soon as you inject steroids, even if they have long esters, they start working in your system right away. It's just that they don't reach peak, the peak levels in your system. EQ will not reach peak levels for 4 to 5 weeks into it. So obviously, if you run it for 6 weeks, that's kind of stupid. Or 8 weeks, that's kind of stupid. I would run it 12 weeks, 14 weeks, okay? That's a good length of a cycle on it, all right? So you want to really get into that sweet spot of where it's peaking your system and really, you know, doing the work for you. Guys, be careful. I mean, if you run these 16, 18, 20-week cycles, you got to count the ester in that. It takes 5-6 weeks to clear out of your system. You're going to be on cycle for a long time. That means you're going to have to run a long PCT and a PCT to bridge, and you're going to have to come off long enough to recover properly. This is a big deal with these longer esters. All right, well, too many people, they come off for 4 weeks and they hop right back on. That's not going to work. You're going to destroy your HPTA in the process. So be smart when you use these compounds. All right, if you're not going to be smart about it, stick to shorter esters, stick to orals. Don't go onto injectables if you're not willing to cycle off, because pretty soon you're going to fuck up your HPTA for life. You're going to have to be injecting testosterone for life. You're going to have to go on TRT. We don't want that. We preach responsible steroid cycling on this podcast, so we don't want that. The next compound, primobolan, very similar to EQ in that it is mild, but it's different. Okay, it's different for several reasons, all right? How is it different? They're both mild, that is true, but Primo is more of a DHT derivative, okay? It's going to cause very lean muscle gains, and it's going to cause more pumps than EQ will. It's going to cause less of, in the way of androgenic effects. And it's also a very slow compound where it's not gonna, like, you're not gonna see results on Primo right away, even though it's an enanthate ester. But don't mistake that for it not working. Guys, too many guys don't understand Primo, and it's really fallen out of favor. But one of the big reasons why is it's heavily faked. Okay, so you really want to make sure you're getting your Primo from a legitimate source and make sure that, you know, that source has been, you know, vetted and approved on our forums. If you go to evolution.org, you can find an approved source. So Primo, very similar to EQ, but it, with Primo, you definitely want to run an androgen with it. EQ, you can run solo, all right, no problems. But Primo, I would not run it solo because it is so mild and it has very low androgenic properties, even lower than what you see on paper, and it has low anabolic properties. So you really need to stack it with something. If you're a gym rat, you're a weightlifter, it's not a good option. If you're an endurance athlete, it's really not a good option. You want to stick to EQ. But Primo is the gold standard of steroids, okay? Primo is great at, even better than EQ when it comes to being in a deficit. So let's say you want to run a calorie deficit, a severe calorie deficit, or you want to run like a keto diet or anything like that where you're really doing low carbs. Primo works beautifully because Primo will not increase appetite. Primo will not give you the shakes, the insomnia, the side effects, any of those androgenic side effects. It will not give that to you. Primo is also fantastic when it comes to immune boosting. A lot of AIDS doctors overseas have urged the American, the FDA in the United States to actually legalize Primo for use in AIDS patients because it's a great compound to prevent muscle wasting. It's a safe compound, very mild, but it also boosts immune system. So when you're on Primo, you're going to notice you don't get sick. There's a reason for that. It's really good for that. But you really need to stick an androgen with it, either tren or testosterone or D-Bol. Some guys like to run D-Bol with it. Something to give it that androgenic kick, because you're really not going to get anything out of it if you run it by itself, for all practical reasons. You might get a little, you're going to basically be wasting it. I'll put it that way. So, run a little bit of an androgen with it and let the Primo do the job. The way I would run Primo, if you're a gym rat and you're looking to lean up, do a deficit, a calorie deficit, run Primo at 600 milligrams a week, run a little testosterone with it, maybe 200 milligrams a week, or run a little tren with it, maybe 150 milligrams a week, or you run D-Bol with it about 10 to 20 milligrams a day of D-Bol. And either one of those would stack well with Primo. I don't know, Matt, if you've run Primo yet, but tell us a little bit about your thoughts.
You know what? It's one of those that it's definitely fallen out of favor. You don't hear it talked about too much. And I wonder if that is because it's faked so often. People can go to other mild compounds like EQ or, it is faked a lot with DECA. So, maybe I'll just get DECA instead, so you don't see it as much. Also because it's expensive. And, not everybody wants to spend what it's going to cost to get real Primo. I think one of the main differences, we talk about a lot of similarities with EQ. I think one of the main differences is the post-injection pain. And, Steve, I know you've used pharmacy-grade Primo and got some pretty nasty pip. And yeah, that's just really, something really that comes with Primo, right? That's not that the gear's dirty. It's not that you your technique sucks. It's just that's just something that you get with this compound. So if that's something you have problems with, you don't want to deal with, then Primo might not be for you. It's just something you deal with. Another thing is stay away. Like if you're a guy and you're trying to lean out, build some muscle, whatever, I wouldn't bother with oral Primo. It's very, very weak. It's something that is typically, women will run it. So if you see that on your list and, you're thinking, oh, well, maybe I'll just take the oral version. That's easier. It's not doesn't work like that. So I'd probably avoid it. But yeah, it's a good one, guys. If you get a chance to get legit Primo, be sure it's a good source. run that shit. If you're not sure, get it tested. You know, you at least will know what compound's in there. You may not know the concentration, but you can at least find out, you know, what it is. So that's how I'd set it up. I think 600 milligrams is good for most people. This is another one like EQ where, you know, you'll see a lot of guys run it up to 800 because it is mild, so they like to boost it up a bit. But you can expect, you know, similar effects. Nice, dry, lean gains. And it's going to come down to your diet. You know, if your diet's good, you know, you're not going to really add much fat, if anything, you know, while you're doing this. You're just going to put on weight that's mostly muscle. So it's great if that's your goal. If you don't want to do this bulk cut, you know, put your body through that kind of stress, this is a nice way to just keep it even keel and just, you know, keep gradually progressing.
Yeah, I just want to piggyback on that. I've used Farm Grade Primo. It is awful. I mean, you pin that shit, I mean, I'm on the ground in pain. So one of the tips I always tell guys with PIP is you can dilute the gear with another compound. So if you're stacking Tren or test with the Primo, mix it in your syringe. Mix them both together, and that will cut down on the PIP. So that's a really good option in that situation. But a lot of these underground labs who do have good Primo, you know, they do find ways to make it a lot more smooth. So, you know, just like I said, check out our forums. We'll help you out find a good source that has good Primo. Matt, you want to you said a user was asking about legs.
Yeah, it's a good question. I kind of like it's more of a general topic, but. You always hear all this talk and see all these funny posts on social media about leg day, right? You know, you see the lady on the ground with her wheelchair and it's, oh, this is the day after leg day, right? All the talk about it. So this guy was basically asking, you know, he doesn't really care about his legs. Like he doesn't feel that like women are going to look at his legs and give a shit. So he said, you know, is leg day actually important? Like, is this just a bro science thing where, you know, you should train legs or like just asking us to get into it? And I said, you know what? That's a really good idea because it's not something that we talk about a lot. But, you know, legs is probably, it's your most important workout day in my mind. I mean, look, you're working out half of your body and it's the strongest muscles in your body. You know, some of the top guys are, you know, like competitors, you know, they'll even split their leg days up into hamstrings one day and quads the other day and, you know, throw calves in wherever. So, you know, legs are going to be an extremely important muscle to work. And I think we can get into it and let's talk about exercises in a few minutes and we can put something together, you know, just give you guys an idea of what you can do. But man, when you work out your legs, there's so many benefits to it. The amount of calories you burn. When I'm in the gym, and my leg day was yesterday, I sweat my ass off when I'm doing legs. Typically, I'll do my squats first, and that's enough. Where I'm soaked from it, right? You're expending so much energy. You can really, really change the shape of your body by building up your legs. It's something that you look around, you don't see a lot of people training them or having decent sized legs at all. There's just not the focus on it. One of the great benefits is the way that your body releases more growth hormone when you lift heavy. And how do you lift heavy? Well, legs is a great way to lift heavy. You know, a lot of you guys listening to this podcast, you're squatting, you know, 300, 400, 500 pounds, right? That's heavy ass weight. That's more than you're doing on your bicep curls, right? So when you're standing in front of the mirror and you're doing your bicep curls, you're not getting the same benefits as you are when you're working out your legs. And that just carries through the rest of the day. The amount of calorie burn you get. God, when you get home from your leg workout, you're going to want to destroy your meal, right? You're going to be ready to go. There's just so many benefits to actually doing it. It's something you have to be careful with because, your form. You got to watch your form. You can end up with, you know, knee pain and injuries and that kind of thing. There's a lot of stuff moving when you're doing something like a squat. You know, a lot of different joints, a lot of different body parts in motion. So it's something you want to start light with any exercise you're doing. You want to have a good plan. You want to have somebody watch you and point out, you know, where you're off on your form. Get that shit straightened out first and then start going heavy. And trust me, when you start consistently lifting with your legs, the progress is amazing how fast you'll be able to get heavier. It's one of those where you'll just be putting, you know, more weight on the bar every time. I do my legs once a week. Steve, what do? You split them up? You do them once?
I do like a three-day split, you know, so every third workout is going to be legs. But on the flip side to what you said, not just does it burn a lot of calories, but also a lot of you skinny guys who complain you can't gain weight. Yeah, you're not eating enough. You need to eat more food. But also, you're not working your legs. You got to have a strong root. You got to have a strong trunk. Your leg muscles, you get some big leg muscles, you build up your legs, your weight will move as well. And it's just like a tree. A healthy tree has a strong trunk. So, you know, I highly recommend, you know, a lot of you skinny guys, that is your number one problem. Aside from the mistakes you're making in the kitchen, you're also not working out properly. You got to do your legs. You don't have any business going to the fucking curl rack. All right, if you're a skinny guy, you should not even be going to the fucking curl rack and doing curls. I see so many fucking skinny guys. They're in groups that are usually 2, 3, 4 guys together. They go to the gym. They work abs and they work their they do curls. That's all they fucking do. You don't have any business doing that shit, okay? You need to be on the fucking squat rack. You need to be doing fucking lunges. You need to be doing fucking cleans. Those are the exercises that are going to make you grow. And that's going to be what stimulates your growth hormone, your testosterone. A lot of you guys who are really young, I swear to you, if you start working out your legs properly and you start eating what you're supposed to be eating and eat healthy, not fucking Pop-Tarts and bagels every fucking day and McDonald's, but eating real food, your testosterone levels are going to fucking shoot up through the roof. And Matt, I know you had mentioned on a pre-podcast about that. And it's true. Because a lot of these young guys, they have low testosterone levels. So they freak out. But that's why you have low testosterone levels. Why should your body produce hormones when it doesn't have any need?
Even more now with the quality of the food. You know, it's even more important than when guys like Arnold were lifting and eating real food. Because our vegetables are grown in shit soil, right? We don't have anywhere near the nutrients that used to be in the ground from all these chemicals and all this crap and over farming and all these other reasons, right? And then the stuff in the ground is what the animals eat. So now the protein quality is shit too compared to what it used to be. So it's so important to eat the right kinds of food when you're trying to make progress with your body, because your body needs these things. It needs the protein. It needs, more importantly, the vitamins and minerals that you get from fruits and vegetables. That's what it needs. And if you look at testosterone levels, you compare an obese man with a shit diet, doesn't exercise, to a guy that exercises and eats healthy, it's not, they're going to be on opposite ends of the spectrum. Okay, you can, there's so many times that people will say, oh, my testosterone must be low because my libido is low and I don't have a lot of energy. But yet, they're not active and they eat shit. So yeah, your testosterone might be low, but you probably just don't feel good because your lifestyle is horrible. So all this stuff ties in together. Living a healthy lifestyle will lead to higher testosterone levels, and it can be significantly higher too. One thing I want to say before I move off of diet is when you're trying to keep your testosterone levels up and you're eating good foods, whole foods, it's okay, and you want saturated fats. There's certain fats that testosterone is made from cholesterol. That's where it comes from. You need these things. So when you have your egg whites, it's okay to mix in 2 and 3 whole eggs every time. It's going to be very beneficial to do that. You need the whole eggs. You need things like avocados and almonds and walnuts and, you know, things like that are going to give you healthy fats. This is the stuff that you need because this is how your body will make testosterone and how it'll continue to be, you know, where it should be. So that's the diet piece. So let's talk about some exercises. And I know the first one that comes to mind is going to be squats, because that's the king of all exercises. If you do one exercise for the rest of your life, that's the one to do, because you're incorporating so many muscles into it. You know, you're going right from, you know, your ass and your hamstrings, which are taking the bulk of the load. You got some serious quad activation. It's even going into your calves too. So the key is to watch a ton of videos, get a ton of feedback on doing the proper form so you don't hurt yourself. Get your ass down low to the ground when you're doing your squats, and then mix it up. You don't always have to do it the same way. Do front squats. They'll put more stress on your quads. Put your stance really wide. Bring your stance in narrow. And what that's going to do is it's going to train the stabilizer muscles in your legs too. So you ever see the chicks on those machines, the ones where you don't want to make eye contact because they're like, you know, just bringing their knees in and out? Those are for the adductors and the abductors. Okay, those are the stabilizing muscles in your legs. If you're finding you're not able to squat heavy and you're not sure what's going on, you've tried everything, it's likely that those muscles are weak. And you know what? There's no shame in working those. So if you want to head over to those machines, do it. If that's what it's going to take, then just do it. Otherwise, vary your stance, because that's another way to make sure you're hitting all those different support muscles. You know, you need to grow your legs evenly to continue to progress and get heavier. So I would always do my squats first. I'll give you 6 weeks. I will do my squats first 5 out of 6 times. That's going to be my core exercise, because it takes so much out of me to do it. I can't imagine not doing it first. So then what I like to do is, for me, it's more lunges after that. I have an issue with doing leg press. For some reason, I get a really, really nasty headache. And I think it's the angle that the machines are at. I can't do anything when I'm down on the ground like that or sitting at an angle. So for more of a quad exercise, I'll do lunges, and I find them more effective anyway, so it ends up being better. So I'll go squats, I'll go to lunges. After that, it depends on how I'm feeling, but when I get into accessory work, sometimes I'll do a stiff leg deadlift, and then I'll go into, you know, like the little accessory work. So basically a deadlift is going to be more of a back exercise. So what you can do is you tweak it, and it's called a stiff leg deadlift. So what you're going to do is your knees will be slightly bent, but your legs are going to stay in place. You're not going to allow your legs to bend and then stand straight up. You're not going to lower the bar all the way to the floor like you would with a typical deadlift. You're just going to hang down, you know, to where your body's basically parallel, and then you're going to come straight up, and that's going to be right on your hamstrings. It's a great exercise. So then I might do some supersetting with, you know, with my accessory work. So I might get a leg curl machine and a leg extension machine, and I'll just hammer those out. And I'll do those sometimes really high rep, you know, 20 to 30, and I'll just go one right to the other. And that really finishes that off for me. And then I'll do a few things for calves, you know. There's not a lot of options for calves, right? You'll do your seated calf raises, your standing calf raises. For me, I like to incorporate donkey calf raises, which is a body weight exercise. Basically, you're on one leg leaned over. You can also do body weight calf raises on stairs, which is really good, because then you allow your foot to go far below parallel. So, I mean, these are just a few exercises I hammered through really quick. I'm sure there's a ton more. I'm sure there's a lot differently that you do, Steve, but that's just a few of the main ones that I like to do when I do my leg days.
I just love starting my leg day off with lunges and ending my leg day off with lunges. And the cool thing about lunges, you can start out doing holding five pound weights. You can have 30 pound weights, 50 pound weights, just work your way up slowly. And that really works it out. You may notice on your leg day, you get nauseous. Okay, a lot of people complain about that. They say, oh, I throw up, I get nauseous. You know, it's really important to make sure you're hydrated, and it's also important to get in some carbs, okay? You know, a lot of you don't seem to understand that, because you're not going to get fat if you have some carbs before your leg day, because you're just going to burn it off when you're doing your legs. So have a bowl of oatmeal, have a sweet potato, have a little bit of rice. You know, just get in some carbs, some fruit. Have some fruit, an apple or something. You know, and just something that your body can burn through when you're doing legs. So if you're a newbie to this and you're one of those guys I mentioned who just does curls and does abs, you know, your entire workouts, and you want to start really taking shit to the next level and doing legs, you need to start eating better. And so I do recommend your pre-workout meal have carbs in it so that your body can really tap into that. Otherwise, you're going to feel nauseous. So front squats are really good. Box squats are really good. You know, I really don't do behind the neck squats anymore. I mean, my front squats, you don't have to do a lot of weight on front squats to get a hell of a workout, believe me. You know, it's a tremendous workout, and you will be so sore the next day. You will not believe it. Deadlifts are a really good option. Cleans are a good option, although cleans do work your traps a lot more than you think. But properly done cleans, you don't have to go heavy to really get in a good workout on your legs. Those are great options. And don't forget your lower legs, your calves, and your front of your calves, front lower leg muscle too. You need to work those. So I do recommend that on your leg day, you also hit your calves and front lower leg as well. And make sure that you're hitting those enough so you don't develop imbalances. And don't forget your hamstrings. You know, although lunges and squats do work hamstrings, you may want to do some machine work on hamstrings. A couple sets on that too, because you don't want to build a front part of your leg strength and back part of your leg not strength. So you don't want to develop those imbalances. So it's important to hit those.
So I'll just give you an example of one other thing I did this week, or last week, sorry. This is something you guys can try. If you're in a rut with your leg day, you've done the same thing forever, or you're not getting as sore as you used to, you just want to switch it up, whatever reason. So, like I said, I'll do, you know, my squats first 5 out of 6, you know, weeks in a row. On that other, the sixth week, and this is what I did last week, and it's called pre-fatiguing, and I'm sure a lot of you guys have heard of this before. But what I do, I like to do it with 100 rep sets. So I go on the seated leg curl machine, and I start on the weight where I fail at around 20 reps. So what you want to do, your goal is to get to 100 reps as fast as you can. So I'll get to about 20, I fail. Then I lower it to the next available weight on the machine, and then I'll hammer out as many as I can. And same thing, when I fail, I'll lower it again. So I go through until I get to 100, and that takes roughly about 4 minutes. And you guys will probably find the same if you're on the right weight. So I do that. Then I head over and I do same thing on the leg extension machine. Same thing until I get 100 reps. After that, I'll take a good rest. But what that's done is now that's pre-fatigued the hamstrings and the quads. They're shot. I'm already walking like an idiot. So then I'll go do my squats. So now all of a sudden, it's forcing your glutes and the support muscles to take on a lot more than they normally would. Because normally, you know, like I said before, our bodies are very smart. Your body's going to use all the muscles that it has to lift the heavy weight. Well, now all of a sudden, your quads and your hamstrings are only able to lift about half of what they used to. So it really puts the emphasis on those other muscles. So you want to get sore, you want to switch it up. Try that for one of your workouts.
Our next topic, if you're going to hit legs hard, you better fucking do this, what we're going to talk about, which is sleep. And we live in a society, a modern society, where we get horrible sleep and we don't get enough sleep. And it has a lot to do with our lifestyles. We work too much. We get too much drama in our lives. You know, we watch too much TV. You know, we have too many hobbies. And we're not getting enough sleep. And the big question I get asked a lot is, how much sleep do I need? It varies, guys. It varies. Some people can get away with 4 or 5 hours of sleep. Some guys need 8 or 9 hours of sleep. All right? It just depends. All right? But if you think that you can get 4 hours of sleep a night and just fucking drink coffee all day just to get through your day, and that's going to not have long-term destruction for your body, you're fooling yourself. We know that people who do that, who don't get enough sleep at night, and then who use stimulants all day, they have a higher rate of cancer, they have a higher rate of heart disease, they have a higher rate of Alzheimer's, they have a higher rate of all kinds of diseases as they get older. So you really have to be aware of that. You know, you really want to use sleep to your advantage. If you're lifting weights, the only way you can recover is through sleep. Sleep is the key to being successful in fitness. So let me go through some tips here for sleep. One of the tips that a lot of you guys do wrong, these are some of the things that you guys are doing wrong. Clocks, alarm clocks, phones in your room, okay? Let's just stick to alarm clock. How many of you have an alarm clock in your room? Probably just about everybody. How many of you have it facing towards you? Pretty much everybody. What if I told you that you don't want that alarm clock facing you? How many times do you think that you open your eyes at night and you look at that clock and you think, shit, in 3 hours I gotta be at work. In 3 hours I gotta take my kid to school. In 3 hours I gotta give a presentation. In 3 hours I gotta, you know, have breakfast. You think that shit in your head and that affects your sleep. Turn your alarm clock away from you. You don't want to look at it. I don't have an alarm clock in my room, and I never will. I do not want an alarm clock in my room. I do not want to know what time it is. That's going to affect your sleep. Your mind starts running. That's going to throw your sleep off. Another thing is pets. Okay, we all love our pets, our cats and our dogs. Think of how many times your dog wakes you up at night or your cat wakes you up at night, sleeping with you. Give them their own bed and let them sleep in their own bed. Okay, keep them out of the room. Plus, they're shedding. Okay, they're making it harder for you to breathe. They're snoring. They're moving around. They're going to keep you up. Electronics, TV, computers. How many of you have a TV in your room? Probably a lot of you. Okay, for some reason, people started putting TVs in bedrooms. This is a huge mistake. Okay, any light source that you have in your room or any electronic is going to be noisy. Your cable box is going to make noise. Your computer is going to make noise. Your TV is going to make noise if it's on. Even if it's muted, the light from the TV is not good. Light will manipulate melatonin levels, okay? Our bodies know when to raise melatonin levels. It's at night when it's dark. Your melatonin levels go up at sunset and they go down at sunrise. That helps us sleep. So if you've got that TV on and it's 11 or 12 o'clock at night and you're watching a show, what do you think is going to happen? Your melatonin levels will not go up because your mind thinks it's still daytime. So you need to get rid of the electronics in your room. Get rid of your TV. Noises. How many of us have ceiling fans that make noise? You know what I did? I went and bought a dual current ceiling fan, a DC ceiling fan. It's quiet. It does not make any noise. Look into that. They're more expensive, but they are quiet. Keep the noises away in your room. Whatever noises you have, you want to eliminate them. Dirty room. How often are you cleaning your bed, washing your sheets? Don't use fragrance dyes when you're washing your bed sheets. It needs to be organic, the most organic, the pure, no scents. All these scents make it harder for you to breathe. You want to keep your sheets clean at least every 2 weeks. You need to be washing your sheets. You got dust mites. I get protectors for your pillows and for your mattress, so you cut down on the dust mites. make sure you're sweeping the floors. You know, keep everything clean, and that's going to help you sleep. And the big one is improper pillows and mattresses. We spend $50,000 on a fucking car, but we can't spend a decent amount of money on our fucking bed when we spend a third of our life in the fucking bed. Does that make any sense to you? No. At least you want to spend a little money on a fucking bed. All these mattress places, they have financing options. It's not expensive. You can get a great fucking bed for like $2,000. A great fucking bed and a fucking great pillow to go along with it for $2,000. If you know where to go, they'll match the price. Get them to match the price. Don't go and buy a $200 mattress. Don't go and buy a fucking $10 pillow from Walmart. You need to spend a little money on this shit, okay? You know, a decent mattress is so fucking important. So, don't do shit in your room. Just sex and sleeping should be in your bedroom. Don't sit there and read a book in your room. Don't sit there and watch TV. You need to take sleep serious, guys. And all this is so important. When it comes to diet, when it comes to exercise, stress, all that affects sleep. You need to find a way to de-stress yourself before bed. Whatever you need to do, go do yoga, listen to music, meditate, pray, whatever it takes just to reduce the stress so you can get a good motherfucking night's sleep and then you're going to wake up refreshed. If you're waking up every morning feeling like shit, you're not sleeping good. You need to correct it.
The thing with the mattress too. If you, like, you guys are lifting weights, right? Like, this is what we're doing here. We work out, and we're into this lifestyle. If you do that, and you're sleeping on a shitty mattress, what's that going to do to your shoulder when you're sleeping on it the wrong way? You're going to wake up in the morning, you're going to be, you know, you're going to be moving it around, like, I slept on that funny, and then it's going to fuck up your workout. Like, you got to be able to sleep just to be, you know, to avoid injury. You know, you don't want to have your neck sore because you slept on a terrible pillow. You know, like, these are just basic things. You know, sleep is so important. This is when you grow. Your body, when it's sleeping, is recovering from all the damage you did to your body all day long. Your body's fixing it while you're sleeping. And this is also when your body's repairing the muscles that you just tore down from your leg day. So you're eating your protein, and you need to get in your sleep. And that's what's going to help you grow that muscle. Now, here's the thing. We do so much stupid shit to ruin our sleep. Like, Steve just gave you guys a list of probably 20 things, and I'm willing to bet that most of us are doing almost all of those wrong. Very few of us are doing any of that stuff right when it comes to sleep. Now, if you think about your day in a nutshell, when you wake up, how do you feel when you first wake up? If you feel like shit, if you feel tired, right away you're done. Right away you know you had a bad sleep, and right away you're off to a bad start. Because the first thing you're going to do is you're going to go downstairs and you're going to get that coffee going. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with one or two cups of coffee a day. That's not what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about are the people that say, don't even talk to me until I have my coffee, right? And that's probably because they slept like shit. So now all of a sudden, you're trying to catch up. So you're probably having five cups of coffee before you even get to work. Okay? Then you're getting to work, and then you're miserable, right? You don't feel good at work. You're sitting on your ass. You know, you're not moving around. You're probably not eating a good, you know, a good meal. Where if you had a good sleep, you're already in that mindset. You just feel good, so you're going to perform better at work. What you want to be doing is getting hydrated too. Right, that'll help your body to feel better. Now, what you don't want to do is be the guy or girl at the office that at, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon starts drinking coffee again because they need the quote unquote pick me up. You don't need caffeine in the middle of the day. And I think one thing a lot of you guys don't know, or, you know, just don't realize, caffeine has a 6-hour half-life. So think about that. You drink 3 cups of coffee in the afternoon. You know, that's somewhere around 300 milligrams of caffeine. 6 hours later, you're still going to have 150 milligrams of caffeine in your system, right? And that just keeps going. How are you going to sleep if you're drinking caffeine and coffee and shit in the afternoon? It's not good, right? So Now, all of a sudden, we're almost to dinner time, and we've already had our whole day screwed up, right? So you get home. You want to eat dinner at a reasonable time. You want to give your body time to start digesting some of that food before you go to bed. Yes, there's different goals when we're talking about trying to put on weight and all that other stuff, but just a regular day, if you stuff your face and you go right to bed, you are not going to be able to sleep because your body's going to be working hard, trying to digest, your stomach's making noise, it's going to keep you up. So that's just a few things, you know, a few examples of what'll screw you up. One thing I would recommend is you need a pre-bed ritual, something to calm you down and get you ready for bed. So one thing I find people don't do enough of is stretching. So I think that's a great time to do it. Give yourself 20 minutes before you're going to go to bed and just stretch. And it's just a relaxing time. It'll get your body, you know, winding down. You're not going to be, you know, thinking about a million things. Just keep it cool, stretch for a while. And then when you go into your room, like Steve said, it'll be dark, nothing's in there, nice and relaxing, and you should be able to lay down and get to sleep within a few minutes. Okay, if you're laying down for an hour and you can't sleep, that's not a good sign, right? You should be able to get to sleep fairly quickly. So those are just a few tips, guys. I just hope the overall thing is the importance of sleep. We got to get that back into our society.
And, you know, caffeine is a real problem. I'll tell you what, caffeine, we have something called GABA. It's an amino acid in our body. Caffeine actually inhibits GABA. So when you're drinking caffeine, you're suppressing the GABA in your body. GABA is our relaxation amino acid. So so people who have suppressed levels of GABA, that's why they're like all jittery and shaky and nervous and stressed out all the time. You can tell those people because they have low amounts of GABA. So you really need to lay off the caffeine, you know, in the afternoon. If you want to drink coffee in the morning, that's fine. You need to lay off in the afternoon. If it's in your system, when you go to sleep, you're not going to be able to sleep because your GABA levels are inhibited. You're going to be a nervous wreck. Foods that help, help you sleep, broccoli, bananas, cherries, and kiwi. Those put you in sleep mode. Stay away from caffeine. Even things like ice cream, candy, or chocolate, sometimes they have caffeine in them. Decaf coffee still has caffeine in it. Tea has caffeine in it. Legally, they can put decaf coffee. They can just call it decaf coffee. It just has to have less caffeine than regular coffee. So just be very, very careful with that. Those are simple things you can do to help your sleep. Our last question is an interesting one. We had a user, he said he's a virgin, he's 25 years old, and, you know, he's really scared about having sex, and he wants some advice on that. Matt, you know, I'll let you have first crack at this.
Yeah, that's a tough one because we're used to the exact opposite in society today, right? This is the Tinder world where it's just there's no meaning and it's just everybody hooks up with everybody and it seems to be starting younger and younger and younger. So this is definitely a different one. The first thing I would say is what not to do. And so I'm assuming the guy's obviously ready. He's just nervous about the actual act. So I think he needs to not watch porn because I think that's going to skew his vision of reality, and then he's going to find a girl and he's going to start trying to do all these moves or he's going to start saying some funny things and it's just going to backfire, right? I think about my first time and it was probably one of the most awkward things. Like, I had no idea what was going on, just kind of wacky, right? Like, you just kind of have to get through it. So I think he's probably going to want to find somebody that he's a little more comfortable with. Being 25, it might be a little easier to have, you know, a girlfriend or somebody that's a little more mature, because I think it's going to be important that that person kind of understands it, gets the background of it, so that way they're not judgmental, right? They expect him to not know what he's doing because he doesn't know what he's doing, and that doesn't make him a bad person. It just means he doesn't know what he's doing, you know? He's not
experienced. I think he wants I think Matt, he wants to kind of know, should he tell the girl, you know, like, hey, I'm a virgin. He's 25 years old. I think that's why he feels kind of awkward. You know what I'm saying?
I would. I think honesty's always, it's going to come out anyway, right? If he doesn't tell her, she's going to know within the first 25 seconds that he is, you know, it's not going to be that hard.
I wonder, like, you know, if it's better not to have sex the first time with someone you actually like, you know, because they're going to think you're a fucking weirdo, you know? So my mentality towards this, let me take a different mentality. It's a little funny, but it's kind of true. I'll tell this guy, just fucking go fuck like 20 or 30 hood rats. Bam, bam, bam. Knock them out one after the other. Just knock through them, okay? Now, after that, now you're ready to move on to the next upper echelon of women, okay? So instead of like, you know, dating, you know, you're probably going to bag, you know, these hood rats are probably a 2 or 3 out of 10. Now you're ready to move on to a girl who isn't so ugly, maybe a 4 or 5, okay? The reason for that is, you know, you're 25, all right? And, like, women, for some reason, women, they don't want to teach, okay, when it comes to this type of stuff. They want the guy to be the leader, the guy to know this shit already. So, I mean, if you're 25 or 30 or 35 or 40, like the 40-year-old virgin, you're way behind on this. So women, you know, they're not going to like this at all. I wouldn't even... Like I said, you need to get some experience on this. So you need to get on that shit right away. You know, there's a lot of different options for you. There's online dating. If you're ugly or you're fat or something, you can't get women. Trust me, there's plenty of ugly fat women out there who need a good dicking too. So you need to go and target them. Target women in your league. I always find it funny when I'm out at a club or a bar or something, and I'm watching a guy, ugly motherfucker, who's probably like a 2 or a 3 out of 10, trying to hit on like a 10, a 9 or a 10 girl, you know? And she just looks at him like, are you fucking kidding me right now? You're really hitting on me? She won't even she won't even acknowledge him. It's like, dude, hit on girls in your fucking league, okay? And once you get that confidence, then you can start moving your way out. You don't just start fucking hitting on like tens. You know what I'm saying? You gotta hit on you gotta work your way up on this. It's like building credit. You know what I'm saying? You don't go and fucking buy a Mercedes as your first car. You fucking buy a Hyundai or whatever, or a Ford, and then you move on to a Honda, a Toyota, then later on you get the Mercedes. Once your credit's really good, you get a good deal, a good interest rate. You don't just start out with a Mercedes as your first car. So I feel like that, you know, and then, you know, you'll get good at it. Just keep practicing, you know, get feedback from the women, and, you know, you really got to learn, okay? You got to learn when it comes to sex how to get better. You can't just, like, watch porn and think you're going to get good. You really need to learn how to satisfy a woman, you know, and kind of, you know, improve as you go along. But you'll get there. No worries, bro.
Yeah, I think it depends on the situation. So I think your idea is actually really good. If he's either single or he's kind of just, you know, there's a couple girls and he's thinking he likes one and, you know, he wants to, you know, eventually get with her. I think that's, you know, go out there and get some experience. I think that's actually great. Great idea. I think where it gets awkward is if this guy's already with a girl, and then it's been, like, a month, and the girl's kind of wondering, like, you know, what's the deal here? And if he doesn't tell her, she's going to know, or it's just going to end, right? So I think that's where it gets awkward. So hopefully, buddy's single, and he can just go and, like you said, Steve, Greg, get some hood rats. I'm sure you could find some. They're around. With online dating and stuff, like, God, there's tons. Everybody's just looking for it now. So, you know, I think
fatter women seem to be more horny in my experience. So you have a better chance of bagging a fatter chick, you know? So, and like these guys are like, oh, these girls, they're not pretty enough, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, you're fucking ugly as fuck, okay? You know, I hate guys like that. It's like, dude, you know, give me a fucking break. That's why you're single, because your fucking expectations are sky high. So get your expectations in line. Go out there and just fucking do it, dude. You're fucking 25. Fucking get out of the way. Once you get out of the way, you know, you won't be so nervous and you move on, because you're going to suck, okay? The first couple times you do it, you're going to suck anyway, so you're not going to know what you're doing. So I hope you guys enjoyed this show. We hit a lot of topics. We're out of time, unfortunately. I'm sorry, but we're out of time. But we'll have the next episode coming up. Evolution.org Rope Podcast. Everyone, keep fucking killing it out there. We got your back. Come on our forums. Post up a thread. Say hi. Send in a question. We'll talk to you guys next time.